This is Father's Day. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on just one segment of our congregation, but I would like to recognize our fathers. I believe, men, that God has put you in a very, very special spot in His great plan and program. And something real special is happening. Do you remember the days when the cry would go out and the lament, "Where are the men?" Is serving God just something for ladies? How many of you have ever heard that kind of a cry? Oh, a lot of you. A lot of you have been in churches. A lot of you ladies maybe were in churches alone without your husbands at one time. But we're living in a very, very special time when God is reaching out. He says, this is the day, a special day, for moving the design that He has for families, for all phases of His work, for His church. He's moving the design that man has made and followed into focus so it fits what He's doing. Praise God. And men that at one time looked for reasons to stay away, and they would ask, "Give me one good reason why I should be in church. Give me a reason. What good would it do? Well, I've got a lot of other things to do. I've got some fishing to catch up on. I've got to polish the old car. I've got a little carpentry work to do. I've got some things that are a lot more higher priority than going to church." But God is bringing things into focus, and men are beginning to see where the priorities really are. And men from all levels of society, from all walks of life, are beginning to feel the nudge of the big angels of God and the pull of the Holy Spirit. And they're coming. One of the titles that I thought would fit good for this Father's Day would be this: The Men Are Coming. And we might even say, the men are here. Hallelujah. From everywhere, men are streaming toward God. Men that have reached pinnacles of fame through the athletic world are saying, this isn't where it's at. And they're turning to God and finding all of those other things may have a purpose, but the real happiness and satisfaction comes from Jesus Christ in their lives. Men who have spent years amassing wealth and that have discovered secrets of turning whatever they do into funds. I had one man tell me that there's just some simple laws to follow that produce income. If these laws are followed, why, the funds are there. He said that he had learned how he had gained fortunes and through poor judgment had lost fortunes and he had gained them. But he said, it's no real problem to me to make money. But men who have reached a point of tremendous wealth are saying, this isn't where it's at. And they're turning toward him. Men in various professions, attorneys, in the profession of education, medicine, are turning to God. They're coming. They're coming from everywhere. I get excited, though I haven't had an opportunity to be a part of it to a large extent, but I get excited when I read in the Full Gospel Business Men's Magazine of men from here and there, and men that the names we've heard before connected with other things. Here they are connected now with telling people, here's where it's at. Hallelujah! Ladies, God is not a male chauvinist. But he just has a design that he works with, and he's beginning to pull it into focus. And every woman ought to thank God from the bottom of their hearts that God is building some firecrackers under the men, lighting some firecrackers. Praise God. Hey, I heard one lady start to clap a little bit. Any other ladies like to join them? Praise God. Well, we're living a tremendous day. But it's a day when it's not only a day of destiny as far as men are concerned. But when I use the term men, I use it collectively to cover mankind. This is a very, very special time in God's plan for men. I'm going to have you turn with me to a verse of Scripture over here in Isaiah. I'm going to have you read it together with me. Isaiah chapter 14. I have read these verses many times here in this assembly. But I feel that we need to be reminded again and again that God is on the job. And then that when He purposes, when He sets in motion those forces that are His will, there is nothing in heaven, no big angels can pull a fuse. No man is big enough and strong enough, though some try to get in the way. And all of hell may try to say, we can't let it happen. But just like that song of the resurrection, but it did. Jesus came. When God purposes, it will happen. Praise God. From Isaiah 14, we're going to read four verses there, 24 through 27. I'd like for you to read aloud with me. Boys and girls that are here, we want you to read. Young people, adults, everyone of the Bible, those that have some translation other than King James, read maybe a little bit more quietly than the others. But we'd like for you to read good and firm, read together from this verse. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, amen. Don't you like that? God says, when I decide to do something, I'll do it. Where He speaks of the Assyrian there, the Assyrian was laying siege to Israel, bringing oppression to Israel. It was an attacking force on Israel. And when you put your name in there and read that as your message to you, it reads that I will break the attacking force in your life. And that thing that has come against you, because I have a purpose. Hallelujah. So if you feel that you're under pressure, the enemy has attacked and has put pressure on you, look up. God has a purpose. He said, my hand is stretched out. Nobody's going to disannul my plan. And my hand is when it's stretched out. No one is going to turn it back. Hallelujah. I wanted to share that with you just as a little springboard into the few thoughts I'd like to give on the fact that this is a day of destiny. And people, when they fit into a spot that God has foreordained them for, then they become a part of His plan of great destiny. This, there's no argument with this. I realize that it's not a very familiar theology with a lot, but it is the story of the Word and God's great plan, God's purpose for people. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for this service. I thank You for the miracle power of God that we have witnessed, that is present among us. I thank You for work that You are doing in this congregation, even at this moment, because You're here. Not one of us are here by accident today. We're here because You brought us here. And You brought us here because there's something You want to add to our lives. There is encouragement. There's motivation. There's power. There's faith. There's something that You have desired to share with us. We realize that every time we come into Your presence, that You have a plan and purpose that is being fulfilled. I thank You for Your Word this morning. And I pray that You will abundantly anoint and bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, so often when we think of men of destiny, we think of men who have become famous because they have accomplished something or their names have gone down in history. We think of men like Father Abraham, the father of God's people way back there in those ancient times. Or we think of a man like Moses, whose life God had put His finger on, even as a little child, and he was spared there in the bulrushes, and you can see evidences of God's hand all the way through him until he was called to lead the children of Israel out. That man was a man of destiny. Or we could think of David. David, a man, when he was just a boy, the Spirit of God came on him, and he tore a lion in half, and he tore a bear apart. He was able to go against the giant and slay him. And we could say that David is a man of tremendous destiny. Then we think of others through the New Testament. We think, well, Paul, very definitely Paul had to be a man of destiny. For God told Ananias, He said, this man was chosen, a chosen vessel, to carry the gospel and this message to kings and people in authority. And you're going to have to tell him, I've got a message for him. You get in there. Don't be afraid of him. So Paul, we have to say Paul was a man of destiny. Then we think of Peter and John and some of these great people who have accomplished so much, whose names are not only written down in the Bible, but they're written in the pages of history. They're written down in God's book. They've accomplished these various things. And we say, those are people that God chose to do a great work with. Those are men of destiny. But God keeps a different set of books than people do. And though He definitely had a part for these people to fill, every person, everyone in God's great plan and program can't be a chief. There has to be a few Indians. But God has made those that serve Him in areas that may not receive quite the same recognition, God has included them in His plan and purpose for ministry that unfolds every day. And they too, as they yield themselves to God, become men and women of destiny. Foreordained for a work for God. I would like to have you turn in your Bibles to a verse of Scripture over here in 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. I read these verses to the men at the men's prayer breakfast, but I feel that they have very, very special meaning today. The Apostle Paul, as he was doing this mighty work for God, there were times when he found himself in prison, times when he was lonely. And he thought back at people whose lives had touched him and had helped him. And he thought, well, there's Peter. Peter's a great person. There are the other apostles. But they had their place. Paul said, you know, there are times when I think I would have failed if it wouldn't have been for some unknowns here. And as he was thinking about these people who had helped shape his life, and without their help, without God using them or someone like them, the tremendous work that he accomplished around the world and that is still living today through these epistles would not have been complete. And he's thinking now about these people. And here he's talking about one person whose name is only mentioned one other time in the Bible. And here's what he said. You will know, I expect, this is in 2 Timothy 1:15. You know, will know, I expect that all of those who are in Asia have turned against me. Phygelus, Hermogenes, and among them, may the Lord have mercy on the household of Onesiphorus. Many times did that man put fresh heart into me. He was not in the least ashamed of my being a prisoner in chains. Indeed, when he was in Rome, he went to a great deal of trouble to find me. May the Lord grant he finds his mercy in that day. And you well know how many times he helped me at Ephesus as well. I want you to think about this man. Many times did that man put fresh heart into me. I wonder today, if this was the day when the Apostle Paul was doing his work, and we were to hear about that fanatical preacher who talked a lot about revelations and other things, and he said a lot of things that didn't fit the theology of the day. He was kind of independent. He just somehow or other was cut from a little different piece of cloth. I wonder if he were down here in the Ada County Jail because of some of the ideas that he was presenting. I wonder how many of us would care to go down and see him and identify with him. I just kind of wonder. We'd probably say, well, that rascal is a right winger. He needs to be in that place. Why, he's even said some things that is against the king or the governor or the president. And I know he said some things that's against our county government. Let him rot down there. That's what Paul was saying here. He said, I suppose you know by this time that all of them have left me. I don't have anybody. They've all forsaken me. You read over in the fourth chapter of this same epistle. Down about verse 17. He said, Not one person stood with me. Nobody. Boy, I'll tell you, doing everything you can do for God, not one person standing with him. Not one. They're in jail. Not one. But I'm glad that Paul added a little word here. He said, but the Lord stood with me. Lord stood with me. And when he thought about that, he had to think about this young man again, named Onesiphorus. And he said, when you see Onesiphorus greet his family for me, I think he has a terrific family, the household, all of them were terrific people. Now, we might say, well, how does Onesiphorus here fit into the destiny? How could we tie this in? He was just doing what was right, the thing expected of him. Well, there's more to it than that. When Onesiphorus' mother was pregnant, and Onesiphorus was just about ready to get born, the Lord spoke to his mother and said, hey, don't name this fella John or Mark or something else. Give him a kind of a stupid-sounding name here, one that I just manufactured. Call him Onesiphorus. What? Well, we don't have anybody in our family lineage named Onesiphorus. Why in the world do you want to call him a name like that? Well, God said, it took all these roots and these different words to say that what I want to say about this fellow that's going to get born. And so she called him Onesiphorus. And I got a little something leap up inside of me when I looked in the concordance and found out what God had in mind. In that word, Onesiphorus, boy, it'll really grab you when you read it. It means a bringer of pleasure. One who creates or inspires joy. One who gratifies. Oh, I'll tell you, the Lord had it mapped out for Onesiphorus, and he helped him to live up to his name. There were times when Paul didn't need just a good prayer meeting. He had plenty of those. He'd get a hold of the Lord, and the Lord stood with him in prison. But he said, there sure is nice sometimes when I get somebody with skin on them. We know the Lord is here and the Spirit here, but you get somebody, some person that kind of cares. And sometimes I have to have a good laugh. And who in the world can I look to? Oh, it's Onesiphorus. He comes in with some of the greatest puns you ever saw. He can even make some puns about this chain that I'm wearing. He can even make some puns about the mold on my jail cell wall here. Onesiphorus was a man that took a hold of my spirit and flew out through the prison bars with my spirit. Let me rise above where I could look at the stars and the sun and breathe the free air. He often refreshed me. You know, in that man of destiny, Paul, in God's plans as he put it together way back there before the earth was ever made, God said, an important spot, just as big and just as important as the work I have mapped out for Paul, is somebody that's going to make sure he gets the job done. There are going to be some people that'll yank Paul's heart out. That'll make it pretty rough on him. But I've got a guy in mind here that'll put the heart back into him every time. Hallelujah. Praise God. How does this relate to us? Listen, folks. I'm looking out here at this congregation at deep pools of water. People who are refreshing others. People who have brought joy, pleasure. They have gratified that person, so they feel it's worth it. There's purpose in my life. They have strengthened the hands of others. They've been able to look past the pressures and the hurts and the hard times. They have turned a deaf ear to criticism and instead looked to see what God was doing. Hallelujah. And I want you to know, I'm looking at some deep pools out here this morning. Praise God. Praise God. I think of Brother Prevett. Where's Brother Prevett? Is he in this? There he is, right over there. I want you to know, he's a pool of water that people are drinking from all the time. Hallelujah. God had something planned for him at 75 years of age. His highest ministry, his spiritual strength has not diminished, and his eye has not grown dim, but he's ministering and refreshing people. I mentioned in the early service, a rugged individual that has to blurt out to God and to people just in a rugged sort of way through his rugged personality has given me a well to drink from many times. Oh, Bill Cooper. I could go on naming people through this congregation that have ministered to me. God has put you. He has foreordained you for this day. It's a ministry. I think of several of you, and some of you, I've told you this, that you have not to be concerned if your name hasn't gone up a neon light somewhere. You are fitting into a beautiful plan that's unfolding for this day. Hallelujah. You moms, if you're able to help those little ones in your home, you grandmothers that are able to some way just turn the eyes of those children to Jesus, you dads that are able to some way add your weight and your influence by letting the young people and the boys and girls in your home know that Jesus is just as important to you at home as he is in church. He's just as important in the business as he is somewhere else. God has this plan for you, a destiny that some life is going to be helped because you have been faithful. The only thing is, don't whip yourself if you have missed God in the past. Get in there and be what you can for God. If you fail, God's got another well to drink from. And I don't know how many people there are in this assembly right now that have told me just in recent weeks, God has awakened me. And I had to get up, pray for individuals. Oftentimes, you mentioned my name, they were praying. I want you to know something, folks. Notice is served on the devil when people take their place in God. I think not only of Onesiphorus and what he accomplished for God in a way, the only mention was made that he was refreshed him and he helped him. I talked about this in our prayer time. And one of the folks said, well, you know, that's what Paul's talking about. The Spirit told him that there was a spiritual gift called the gift of helps, that everybody can partake of and be and help someone else in their service for God. But I think of another one named Barnabas. Now the name Barnabas, as for the mic down here, Greek student, know means merely the son of Nevis, two words put together. But that's just the technical thing. There's a meaning, a definition of this word that goes way beyond. And that word is one who serves, one who waits upon, one who runs the errands. Hey, that sounds pretty good to me. Not everybody is going to be a D.L. Moody. And I only know of one Billy Graham around. But I sure know a lot of Barnabases. Hallelujah. And every time Barnabas went to do something, he was thanking God. When Paul accomplished something big, old Barnabas was handling all of the machinery and doing the legwork and taking care of the details. Somebody mentioned to my wife this week, when I take care of these little kids for our choir as they're out ministering to the Lord, I have a ministry just as big as the people that are doing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you really say that, Brother Snodgrass? He really said that. This is the truth. God has given us the opportunity to live in the greatest days of all history, folks. We're at days that are going to bring Jesus back. And the spots that we fill become increasingly important. But let's never be found too busy here and there, feeling sympathetic to ourselves for not being able to do something else, knowing that we're all part of the body of Jesus Christ, all helping to tie together, adding something, being pools of water that people can drink from. And the Lord is even not only causing people to be pools of water, but He's causing them to be channels and to carry this water to many, many other lives around. Hallelujah. You have a spot to fill. And then Paul not only thought of Barnabas and Onesiphorus, but there are times in our lives when we don't need a good sermon. We don't even need the singing ambassadors to sing for us and boost us into the third heaven. There are a few times like that. Not very many, but a few times. There are times when you don't even need someone that's a real spiritual person to make you feel spiritual. There are some times when all you need is somebody to know that He's there, that He loves you in spite of your faults, that knows all your quirks and problems and troubles, and he still hangs around. You know what you call a person like that? You call him a brother or a sister. And you know this. All of you. Why, if I were to ask you to lift your hands, everybody in the building would lift your hands. There are times when you just need to know somebody's around, somebody's hanging around there. And of all things, Paul mentions the name of a man. God has a great big page written for him up in heaven because he was one that, as with the rest of us, there's a blueprint all written out. Hallelujah. And a ministry and a path over which we're following. And this will blow your mind to try and figure it out. It did me. The Lord let me see this. Oh, it's definitely so. And I can't understand it. And I was highly frustrated even looking at the vastness of God's big plans. When you stop and think about it, every little old bird that drops to the ground, God's eye sees it. He knows exactly all about it. He watches the grass as it starts poking its heads up through the soil. And then he's got a billion other worlds a lot bigger and more important than this one that he's got to keep from bumping into each other all the time. His plans are just so vast. But when you take just the plans for people, 3 billion of them. 3 billion of them. And each of them having different things coming to pass or or opening up each day, each minute. I was in confusion, but the Lord ministered to my heart. I remember so clearly. And one thing that He let me see about this was that every day is the fullness of time for some phase of His plan for every person. It's fullness of time. Time has come up for something in your life. Every day you can look ahead. Ah, hallelujah. God has planned something. Don't know what it is exactly. Well, you might go to bed that night and say, well, nothing happened today. Just your presence near someone may have given them a cool drink. Just your ability to carry a burden without complaining may have helped someone else to get down under a big load and inspired them. Without you realizing it, you may have put somebody's heart back into them that had lost heart. Hallelujah. 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 I mentioned in the early service about a blacksmith that the Lord had just recently brought to our church. A man that works more with horses than with people, shoeing them, and so on. But I was carrying this week quite a heavy burden. I felt pressed down. This man came into my office. Oh, hallelujah. He was so vibrant and so full of God that I just drank and drank and drank and drank and drank of His Spirit. And He put some new heart in me. Hallelujah. And then a big old burden came along, and I was able to tackle it. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God cares about you? You see, in His book, He doesn't have some big blueprints and some little blueprints and some that are supposed to be important, some unimportant. They're all the same. He just wants you to fill the spot that He's put you in. And as He leads you through and opens up each day in the fullness of time, oh, praise God. Praise God. Men of destiny, it's our day. Let's make this day tell for God. Let's carry the influence of the life of Jesus that's flowing so full and so free through this place. Let's carry it to people all over this community. How about it? There are people dying for just a little sip of the water of life that's within you. Let's become those wells that are open and ready. Well, this man I'm referring to, that was nothing more, but it was written down in Paul's book as a brother in God's big book. He said, he is a man of destiny. Because those times when Paul needed something else, other than the spiritual force, he needed a human being. He needed somebody with skin on him. He needed somebody to talk to or somebody just to be there. He said, that old quartus never fails. The word quartus doesn't mean very much. It just means a fourth. His name, even his name doesn't mean much. But he was a brother. He was a brother. How about going out and being a sister or a brother? Carry some joy. Refresh some lives. Be a well. Or if you have to run a few errands like Barnabas. But I want you to know something. That God has given you a spot in the greatest work of the whole universe. And one of these days when the saints go marching home, God isn't going to have certain fellows standing on platforms way up above everybody else. Oh no. He's going to say, did you fill the spots in that little blueprint of your life that I gave you? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Old Barnabas and Onesiphorus are going to hear well done just as loud as Paul is going to hear it. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Oh, Jesus. God, I thank you today that the men are coming. I thank you that women are coming and they're taking their place. Youth are coming. But on this particular day, I ask that special anointing upon these men who have heard the call of God, who are looking for ways and means now to minister, to find new direction for their lives. Oh, God, I thank you for them. I thank you for their strength. I thank you for the young men that are here. I thank you for men that may not ever have had the privilege of being fathers. You have need for their strength, for their direction, for their capabilities, just as much as you have for others. I pray that this day will be a day of new thrust, of new power, of new direction, or of increased desire and drive in the direction you have put us in. I ask that this will happen today in Jesus' name. Right now, I'm going to ask everyone, just, you don't need to hold your heads down, because I want you to be just as proud as I am of what God is doing. And I believe that we can, you know, be so thankful to God for what He has done. This church is not a church where we have to say, "Where are the men?" The men are here. And I'm going to ask every boy and every man in this building to stand right now, all over the building. I want the angels to have a good look. They're standing out there among you too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to look around, man. I want you to see. I want you to look around here. I want you to see you're not alone. That God is calling. God has a place for men today. I want you ladies to look around. Here, you thought the men weren't listening to God. They are, and God has a place for them. And I believe that even following this day, there's going to be added thrust. Praise God forevermore. I'm going to ask every lady now in the building to stand, whether you're married, whether you ever hope to be married or not. I want you to stand. And I want a sound of praise to issue from the hearts, the throats of the ladies and the girls that are here. I want you to praise God for the men that God has brought. Will you do that, ladies? Right now, every woman in the building, I want you to praise God. Lift your hearts. Lift your voices right now and praise. Big word of thanks. Oh, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to ask one of the wives to lead us in prayer. You know, special thanks. God would minister through this prayer. I want the men to hear this expression from a representative of your group. I'm going to ask Sister Buck. I'm glad she thanks God for what his care for me. I'm going to ask her to come and lead us in this prayer and also give us a prayer of dismissal.
Precious Father, we cannot thank you enough for what you have done in our midst. Amongst our people, oh Father, we thank you for every man that is standing, for every boy, dear Jesus, we ask you for their special anointing of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. Help each one to stand, Lord Jesus, for you in righteousness and truth. And Lord Jesus, to be a well of water to those around them that are in such a need. We thank you for our men. We appreciate them, dear Jesus. And we also appreciate our ladies, Lord. Each one of us, may we be as a brother or as a sister sharing the water of life to those that are so thirsty. Oh, Jesus, we want to be right in the middle of your stream, just letting others have this drink from you. Now, Father, we pray for your special anointing upon each one as we depart. Oh, may this day be a special day because of your presence. And, Father, if there is someone that feels discouraged and feels that they don't amount to very much, help them to realize today that in God's kingdom they're very special. They're very special to Jesus. And, dear Jesus, we pray that they might take their place in the kingdom of God, whether it be a housewife, whether it be a laborer, whether it be a worker of any kind. Lord Jesus, be with them. Our boys and our girls and our young people, oh, Father, together may we serve you. May we put our hands, Lord Jesus, to the plow afresh and just really work for you while it is time. And may we flow with that water of life to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.